Gentlemen, welcome to a slightly earlier edition of the No Cash, No Code podcast. We've listened to you, listener. We've realized we get twice as many. That's quite embarrassing, isn't it? When we go a little bit earlier. So just to help you while you're tinkering and trying to work out how to get through this minefield of matches, we're going to distract you with what happened in the previous week. It is me, the Commissioner, Andre Clark, and I am joined again by the historian and the one who has been planning in advance far more than me, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Andre. I am doing very well, thank you. Hello, listener. I thought on Monday afternoon, Andre, that we might be returning to my introduction, including me being top of the league. But alas.
I'm sure we'll get into some details on that. It's been a turbulent week. Some good scores, some poor scores, and some very predictable scores. Remind us, what happened last weekend in the games?
Well, it feels like it's only just ended, doesn't it? And with the FA Cup fun over the last couple of days, it's just it's incessant at the moment, which is how we like it. So what were the highlights? Obviously, blank game week, Andre. That's probably where we should start.
Yep.
Thanks to the League Cup final, which we won't be talking about on this episode, and I'll take no further questions on. So instead, we focused on a handful of Premier League teams, and the highlights were Aston Villa scoring four goals against Nottingham Forest, which, if you were an owner of Douglas Luiz, Ollie Watkins, or Leon Bailey, you were starting the weekend off with a smile. Brighton, less good, 1-1 with Everton. Crystal Palace beat Burnley, despite having all of their best players missing. I'm sure that there'll be loads of people owning IU, Mateta and Richards, but they're just... Fulham went to Old Trafford and spanked Manchester United 2-1. I don't know if you saw any of that, but Fulham played so well. They looked like sort of peak Klopp Liverpool from a couple of years ago. City got a 1-0 win away at Bournemouth, but that was just the appetizer to what they've ended in the FA Cup a few days later to Luton. And your boys, Arsenal, put on another stellar display. It's becoming the norm week to week at the moment.
It was epic. I set my alarm. That was, I think, 4 a.m. my time, and it was worth it. It was worth getting up for. Even the clean sheet didn't feel that bad. I mean, you mentioned Iwobi earlier at Fulham, and then Willock. It was kind of like everyone who's past and present had a great weekend this weekend. But yeah, that was an absolute strangulation of a performance. Highly enjoyable.
Absolutely battered them. And then the weekend finished on Monday, or the game week finished on Monday with West Ham Brentford. Just to bring you into the tent, Andre. So at this point, I think I'm 5 points behind our league leader. And I've got,
yes, indeed,
Tony and Areola still to play. He has Bowen still to play. And given West Ham's recent form, I was feeling quite bullish that Mr. Tony might score a goal. Maybe Areola gets a save point if you're lucky. and within 10 minutes, that dream was well and truly over as Burns scored twice, added a third later. Tony, I think, had one shot in the game. And Areola didn't keep a clean sheet. So instead of potentially being back to the top of the league, our league leader has extended his lead, as I'm sure we will talk about later.
I'm sure we're going to. And you skimmed over the other game that had most of everyone's attention for ridiculous reasons. If you ever want to know how stupid a game FPL is, it's people worrying about Wolves versus Sheffield United, refreshing and trying to work out who's going to start. Is there an injury in the warm-ups? A game that should be meaningless had so much meaning on the standings overall. But we're going to get into some more of that detail when we get towards the hurt, I'm sure, later. All right, lots to unpack. Let's start with the good stuff. We'll get into the teams later. Who had the best picks this week?
So pick of the week, actually quite straightforward this week. So just quick shout out to you, Rob, and Elijah for your Bailey pick. I know you undernard over that. Louise, obviously, would have probably been the better pick, but still, we should give you credit for your haul of 12 points for Leon Bailey. But there are three players only owned once that scored 9+. In third place, we're going with Phil's pick of Ederson in goal. Quite surprising, I suppose, given Man City's double game week, etc., that there aren't more Ederson owners, albeit most of us are still scrapping around with Dubravka and Areola, who've kept a clean sheet since about midway through last season, I think, at this stage. So good pick from Phil. Then Nevin is the only Brathwaite owner. Again, I suspect that won't be the case for that much longer. This is a guy who has looked good all season, even not for FPL reasons. Everton obviously have kept more clean sheets than most. And now he started scoring left foot volleys. So
nice.
Very, very impressive. 9 points for him. Well done, Nevin. But top pick is owned by two people, and that is Emerson, West Ham's left back. Now, as you know, wouldn't usually give an award to someone owned twice, but on this occasion, made easier by the fact that Rob Brooks' free hit had him on third place on the bench. And yep. So the only playing Emerson was Jeremy May, 12 points. Emerson coming to the fore despite West Ham not keeping a clean sheet. And so he gets pick of the week.
All the flowers there. We're going to talk a lot about this West Ham game. I don't think I remember a single game having this much of an influence on our awards. Like, so that's pick of the week that's gone there. Top of the table was built also because of those games. It was a game, but I don't think I even cared about that much. Like you said at the beginning, the form of West Ham going into this made them a non-entity for many. I was stunned to see an Emerson in any team, never mind two. I'm going to come back to poor Rob and it being on the bench later on. But yeah, that was probably, yeah, you said, one of those straightforward picks. There's some big shout-outs on some captaincies as well, which I'm going to touch on, which I think were some lovely shouts. But I do not disagree with your choice of pick of the week there.
So take us to the team then, Andre. Where are we heading?
Right. I mean, team of the week is obviously going to be among the higher scorers, obviously, but there's a bit of a journey I'd like to go through on some of these, actually. So listen, buckle up. I'm going to go through a few options. If you're in the 60s, you're about to get a shout out. Not if you're exactly on 60. So Colin, Jeff, Nevin, who's already had some time. Well done, yous on the 60s overall. Let's start with Bob. Bob's 61 was a decent score, quality team. He gets a mention because he brought in the aforementioned Douglas Luiz just in time when many people were toying over which of Wolves' Ballon d'Or winning candidate midfielders to bring in. He made the Luiz choice, which in short term has worked out to be the right choice overall. Then in the 62s, Rob Brook with his 62-point free hit. It would have felt fantastic to have a free hit that is a top five score on the week overall, apart from, as you killed already, the Emerson on the bench. That's got to be painful. Added to that, he went with a captaincy of Garnacho. So it's a 62 that could have been significantly higher. I don't normally call out the captain, but it's necessary because while trying to work out what the team of the week is, the next two scorers, well, they zagged very, very well. We've got joint 66s. We've got Nick Mick, who hasn't had any airtime for the longest while. An okay team performance, a massive captaincy performance. Went with Foden with 22, one of the differentials in his team effectively. So that is massive points up. Then you've got Kinder. Now, Nick Mick and Kinder both joined the league at the same time. They're both friends with each other. So it's nice to see them both on exactly the same score. Kinder also decided he's not going to fall for the Haaland zombie auto pick. And he went with Watkins, a man who's burnt me on many a captaincy. But Kinder got it right this time around. So that's another 66. All of that is a waste of time because there are only two in the 70s. So we have, I'm very happy to say, one of the best chips uses so far. Ade has gone with his wild card. He's wildcarded in a massive 72 points on the game week. It's a lovely team. He's got Pickford, Ake. He's got double Arsenal with Gabriel and Saka, obviously. Foden, of course, he went with Luiz. Why would he not? And then he's got the forward lineup everyone's aiming for. He's got a decent-looking bench, and he only left 6 points on there on the week. So shout out to you, Haaland captain, 72 points. But there's only one. So Tom has already alluded to it being quite the week for a young Damien, who has now gained quite a lead by his standards, exactly from where he was just 4 or 5 weeks ago. 79 points. top of the league. It came down to, as Tom mentioned, the last couple of game weeks, or the last couple of games on the week. Yes, it's a 79, and yes, it's enough to win team of the week. But did Damien stop there? Oh, no, 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 he didn't. He also went top of the league. That's all the good scores. There's a name missing. Out of all the good scores, I have not mentioned someone who's had no end of airtime recently, even had a pod named after him last week. There's no mention of Harry. For the second month in a row, we have claimed someone has a runaway lead for manager of the month, and that was very much Harry Moo. This game week came down not just at the top of the table, but manager of the month to those last two games. It came down to Wolves versus Sheffield United and the West Ham drumming of Brentford. Both players had one player in each of those games. One of them went Hwang with his transfer in. The other one had Kilman. Obviously, Kilman with the clean sheet. Hwang with a disappointment for everybody. We went into the final game with Damien needing a miracle to get a second appearance on the podcast in the same season. He needed a scoreless Bowen to not score just one, but at least two plus BAPs. Bowen said, don't worry about that. In a time shorter than my build-up to the winning of the manager of the month, Bowen already got two goals and clearly he was going to get the bonus points. Poor Harry gets gazumped at the final game of the game week. So congratulations, Damien, not just team of the week, but also manager of the month for a second time. He is Quinn's in and he is storming up the table with a final game week ranking of 178,000 in the world in a very difficult game week. How are you feeling, Tom, with this ominous shadow?
Yeah, no, that was it was a real kick in the proverbials. I think it'd be fair to say I even switched. I wasn't watching, cooking dinner, heard a bit of a roar from the TV room, saw he got the first, fuming, went back to cooking, heard another roar, saw he got the second, and then just turned it off.
Stop the count.
At least for 10 minutes and then turn it back up again. But no, okay. Do you know what? He has been so good with his transfers over the last couple of months. And he's just, you know, when I was a decent way clear, he was just chipping away. He's had a season where he's not had that many monster green arrows, but he's just been really consistent. And the Bowen pick really stands out to me. He bought him in game week 21.
Yep.
Since then, 2 points away at Sheffield United, 1 point at home to Bournemouth, 2 points away at Man U, two at home to Arsenal, two away at Forest. 5 weeks in, you would forgive him for taking a hit to get rid. Maybe the fact that he plays in game week 29 is part of that. But he's the only owner of Bowen, and there's good reason for that, because the bloke has literally not scored a goal for 10 game weeks. Yeah. But he's been patient and he's been rewarded. And it feels like that's been the case with so many of his players over the last few weeks, whether it's Gordon or Palmer or him, when others have given up and moved on to the next sexy pick from Wolves. He's just kept going. I was a bit really annoyed with Hillman in this week and got a clean sheet out of a guy who I brought in specifically on my wild card. I thought that was a quite poor form from him.
Should he have gone Iannori instead and really, really stuck it to you?
Well, yeah, I suppose that's a mistake on his part. But, he is looking very, very good at the moment. And given I've already used my wild card, I think you'd have to make him heavy favourite at this stage.
I wouldn't say heavy, but definitely it's tipped in his scale. He's been great with the transfers, as you said. And listener, it's not just he's carried Bowen for that really difficult period. Why has he still managed to chip away? Well, he's benched him for half of those. So, and even the weeks where he's played him, yes, he only got a two-pointer, but his bench has been clean the whole time. Like, it's clean is both a positive and a negative. There's only there's a Gabriel one week, but there isn't a week where I can see where Bowen starts and actually he's lost anything by that. There's one where he could have gone with Trippier. So overall, it's not actually cost him carrying him until this moment when it was time to shine. So yeah, it's going to be tight, I think. I think you've got the disadvantage that he still has a wild card, but you're probably, well, we said this a couple of weeks ago, maybe better set up for the last couple of weeks. he got away with that game week 25. Like the big differentiator I feel in the league at the top right now is those who went multiple Liverpool and had the apocalypse of injuries have really suffered, and those that didn't are now probably a little bit better set up going further forward. So a touch of fortune, which is what you need, but he's also just been a quality manager all the way through. That's way too much praise. Where can we find some hurt to discuss instead?
Yeah, I wondered whether you might want to kick this off, because I must admit I was struggling a little bit over and above. I mean, Rob Leach, I'm just not sure deserves the time spent at this point.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, I think he's craving attention. So if we give him the attention, will he stop doing this? What was it? A minus 16 this week. Some just crazy, crazy moves. Yes, he brings in Watkins and Bailey and they score good points, but a minus 16 on a 52 pointer. I don't know what to say about it anymore. It's just nonsense, and he's got Salah in his starting lineup with a minus 16. I don't understand. So no, let's not go there. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna struggle as well. You've got the very obvious free hitting, bringing in a player that almost nobody owns, then leaving it on the bench. Mm-hmm. But it's a strong free hit score overall. Yeah. It's probably about as painful as it gets. I'd like to give a shout out for pain for lots and lots of people. So if I had better editing skills now, there'd be that violin type sad music in the background. But shout out to all of us De Bruyne owners. That's Rob again, Nevin, Jeff, Dylan, Bradley, my good self, Stephen Hill, Jamie Cork, Jeremy May. I mean, there's a few, but to watch De Bruyne do what he did in the FA Cup after we've been carrying this differential week after week, that's really, really painful. Bench-wise, it's all clean. 13 is the worst, which we've already mentioned. So I don't think there's anything worse, to be honest. I think it's going to have to be the Emerson defender on the bench for me. Have you got anything else you can find?
No, not really. I suppose the fact that Steve, this is sort of after timing hurt, but the fact that Steve Suckling has pulled his wild card and included both Solanke and Huang could end up being quite painful for him next week, potentially.
I've already taken, I did the early transfer, which I never normally do, and I just brought Solanke in, so I'm feeling good about that. Thank you. Yeah, really, really happy. Well, to be fair, it was a Luton striker who wasn't playing either, so I'm just going to act like it never happened and hope he's fit in time for when I actually brought him in for.
Adebayo's come out just in time for his double game week, which he'll almost certainly be back fit for.
Yep. I've planned really carefully to make sure Adebayo. I feel I've been really hard done by it. Post wildcard, I've had six starting player injuries, but hey, it is what it is. The only other hurt I can see knocking around is there are a lot of regular owners, like three of them got the minus one there, which is what you deserve for picking him, quite frankly, when I took Pinnock and he's not played a minute since I brought him into my team. But yeah, that's about it. We're really struggling.
What about my boy Moreno got a minus one as well, which I thought was pretty harsh. In fact, this might be the best hurt of the week. I don't know if you saw this, but he got booked in the 58th minute, hauled off in the 59th minute. So lost his 2 points, his second playing point, and got the minus one. That was earlier in the game week when I still thought, that's all right. We weren't expecting too much from Moreno anyway. But
fellow Moreno owner, and it's been a roller coaster with that boy. Like the amount of disallowed goals that he's had this season for like hair's breadth offsides when you're playing right. Marauding left back. It's just not right. It shouldn't be there. No, you're right. There's a few of us with those minus ones, but I think we're scrambling. So let's call it. Congratulations on your hurts and on your picks and on your various other acclamations on this podcast. We are getting into No Cash, No Code Cup season. So look out for an email over the course of the weekend and we'll go through the rules and what to expect next. I have some tinkering to do to work out how the heck I'm going to get through a game week that none of us are going to enjoy. Are you feeling comfortable with your pre-planning, or has the FA Cup and cups in general put you in a bit of a bad mood?
The League Cup final obviously did. I don't think I've been that down post the Chelsea game for a couple of years. I don't know why I even considered getting my hopes up for that. They're very nervous going to the Leeds game, which we managed to sneak through. I suppose my plan, I'd never really planned to free hit. And I'm not really sure that changes. I think having used the wild card, free hitting after a wild card, probably I need to hold that for later on. But yeah, it's going to be quite an interesting week. There are some squads that I've seen floating around that look a lot stronger than mine for this game week. So I'm a bit nervous about that. But I also will be interested to see how, off the back of 5 goals for Haaland in midweek, a lot of people were talking about maybe moving on to other captaincy options or even taking him out. And then he bangs in 5. And I suspect we'll probably see people reverting back to type there.
Yeah, that's enough of that conversation, effectively, straight out the gate. Tell you what else we could have covered in her, actually. I'm just going through your observations, actually, earlier this week. Shall we give a little shout out to Mr. Brox?
The fraud.
The fraud that is Brox, yes. How's his season going so far?
Well, he cheated his way into the league. That was the starting point. And he then had a very good run, which included him very nearly winning Manager of the Month award, which could have started World War III, I think.
Yeah.
And he got himself up into the top 10, top 250,000th in the world. And then the last 3 game weeks have been about as catastrophic a 3-week run as we've had in No Cash, No Code from a...
It has to be the worst.
Manager, shall we call it? 8 million, 8.6 million, 9.8 million, 7.4 million in the world, 3 weeks in a row. He has dropped... He'd fought his way from game week 8 to game week 23. He fought his way from 1.8 million up to 248K. And in the space of 3 weeks, he dropped out of the top million from 248K, which is spectacular.
It really is.
And I think I just sent you a quick WhatsApp with the hashtag karma as the...
Yes, you did, with a screenshot of the arrows. I think he might just be able to nick this at the 11th hour, you know, like in terms of Hurt Award, because that's really, really painful. And I'm just doing a bit of analysis on how he's managed to achieve like more finishes in the post 7 million mark than anyone ever should be able to in a row. He went with the captain of De Bruyne this week. That's rare. But what I mean is a 0 point captain. That's almost impossible to do. So he's got a 0 point captain. So his rise is all based on him being no Haaland. He's had no Haaland all season. He's been sticking his guns to it. So in the time where some of us still didn't have Salah, that's where he was riding up the table. So a 0 point De Bruyne captain this week, a 2 point captain the week beforehand, Watkins on the bench for 13 points in game week 25. And then obviously game week 50, where the rot all began, he's got Gabriel on the bench for 12. He's gone with the captain of De Bruyne in a week where I believe Haaland got 2. Yeah, so I think he's earned it. It's better than a free hit bench as far as I'm concerned. So I think Broxy, congratulations. You got some airtime, and I'm going to give you Hurt of the Month award, a new award we just created.
I'm being very mean about him. I love the bloke to bits. He's one of my favourite members of No Cash, No Code. One of the almost originals.
He's
cut him off nicely, I think.
He's 100% my target. Like I'm not going to finish anywhere decent in the league. That's where I'm aiming for. Broxy, I'm calling it. I'm going to catch you. Nice one, my friend. Good catching up. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.